I want you to turn, actually, we're going to go come from the book of Hebrews this morning. I won't be too long. But before we start, I just want to thank everyone for coming this morning, any visitors. If this is your first time or if it's not your first time, thank you for joining us this morning in worship. If you want any information about or more information about Blessed Hope, we do have a website, and it is at www.bhbcstl.org. That's www.bhbcstl.org. And if I can get through this message, okay, I guess we're recorded, but if not, we won't worry about it. So I pray that you take notes and listen. Amen. It's good to see your smiling faces. I want to share with you a topic, the Word of God. It's kind of ironic because I noticed as pastors was teaching, as he was teaching on a church built up on a rock, if I'm not mistaken, I believe one of his points was a church built up on a rock is a church that is built up on the Word. And I don't think he even gotten to that point yet, that particular point, a church that is built up on the Word. So if he has already, or if he's getting to that point, we're going to talk about the Word itself today, the Word of God. And I want to use for a topic that the Word of God is alive and it is powerful. The Word of God, it's alive and it is powerful. Hebrews 4 and 12. And again, I've taken the scriptures from the New Century Version, if you all, since we've been studying from the NCV, the New Century. It reads in New Century 4 and 12, it says, God's word is alive and working and is sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts all the way into us, where the soul and the spirit are joined, to the center of our joints and bones. And it judges the thoughts and the feelings in our hearts. It judges the thoughts and feelings in our hearts. Now, there are some specific reasons why the Word of God is powerful. There are some specific reasons why the Word of God is alive. And I just want to share some of those with you. Point number one, the Word is powerful because of its nature. The Word is powerful because of its nature. Now, when I use the word nature here, I'm speaking in the sense of its essential characteristics or the qualities that the Word of God possess. So it is powerful because of its characteristics that it possesses. And for those characteristics we're going to cover this morning, one, the Word is multifaceted. Multifaceted. In other words, there are many representations of the Word of God. The Word is eternal. The Word is alive. And the Word is supernatural. We want to cover those characteristics this morning. First characteristic, the Word is multifaceted. Now, usually when we make a reference to the Word of God, we're talking about the Bible. We're usually talking about the scriptures, the written scripts of the Word of God. But it's not limited to that. It's not limited to that one representation. The Word of God is the written Word of God, but also the Word of God, literally speaking, the Word of God is Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus. So since we're familiar with the term, the Word being used as the scripture or the Bible, I just want to spend a few minutes explaining how the Word of God is Jesus Christ himself. In John 1 and 1, he writes these words. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He said, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let me explain to you what John is trying to do here, because John is speaking to some Greeks. He's speaking to a writing, rather, to the Greeks. So he understands when he says that the Word is God or the Word was with God. In the Greek, the word is translated as logos, L-O-G-O-S. So John says, in the beginning was logos. Now they understood what that meant because as Greeks, they thought logos, they understood logos as being a thought or reason. So with that in mind, John says, in the beginning, God had thought. In the beginning, the thought was with God. And this thought was God. So they could grasp that because, you know, they knew there was a God, or they believed of this God that was spoken of, so they could grasp that. But then John takes it a little bit further than that. John said, not only was the thought or this word or this logos was with God, he said it actually was God. It's not something that just comes from God, but it is God. So he goes down to verse 14, 1 and 14, he says that this word or the logos became a human and lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory that belongs to the only Son of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. So John got their attention with this thought is God. But then John says, not only is the thought God, this thought actually put on human flesh. God's word actually put on human flesh, and it dwelled among us, and we called him Jesus, Son of the living God. Makes any sense? So now he claims here that this logos has actually come in the form of human flesh, the living word of God. The word of God is alive. It is alive. Not was alive. The word of God is alive. Now here he is talking about Jesus Christ, who is the living word. So now Jesus is the living word of God. So that means Jesus, he was one who fully and completely represented God's will. He represented God's thoughts. He represented God's actions. And he represented God's feelings toward mankind. Jesus being the word of God, in the flesh, being God in the flesh, actual God, he's in the flesh. He was the will of God completely. He was the thoughts of God. He was the actions of God. And he was the feelings of God towards you and me. So if Jesus is the word of God that represents God's will, God's thoughts, God's actions, and his feelings towards us, let's make it a little more practical, applied to us. If Jesus is all of that, and I say I have Jesus, I say I've been born again believing I have Jesus, I have accepted Jesus in my heart. Jesus is the will of God. He is God's thoughts. He is God's actions. Whatever Jesus said is what God would have said. Whatever Jesus did, it is what God would have done in any situation. So if Jesus is all of that, and I say I have Jesus, then that means we should represent God's will. We should represent God's actions. We should represent God's feeling towards mankind. See, that's an oxymoron. I don't understand mean Christians. I never read where Jesus was mean. I don't understand backstabbing Christians. I don't see that characteristic in Jesus. I don't understand Christians who lie, steal, cheat, and do things or do things to ourselves that Jesus wouldn't do when we should represent who God is. Some of y'all didn't see that one coming, did you? Y'all thought we were just going to have a history lesson in the Bible. But Jesus represented, we had this fad to go around. It was, what would Jesus do? Everybody wore what would Jesus do bracelets. I saw somebody with a what would Jesus do bracelet on. And the reason I saw the bracelet, because he had a cigarette in his mouth smoking it. How ironic. The only reason I noticed the bracelet was because he had a cigarette smoking it. Putting toxins in his body. Poison in his body. And he said, what would Jesus do? And I said to myself, did Jesus smoke? Not getting into all it. But my point is that there are many representations. The word is multifaceted. Jesus represented the word of God. And when we receive Jesus in our heart, it is up to us to live out a life that represent God's that is representative of God's kingdom. Not only do we live our conversation, you see, there are certain conversations when you're in the workplace, you just need to walk away from. There are certain group settings that go on. You just need to walk away from that group, because Jesus wouldn't, if Jesus was sitting in that group, trust me, the conversation would not have gone in that direction. So I ask you to analyze your life. Look at yourself and really think about it. What would Jesus do? Since I am an ambassador, since I do represent Jesus here on earth, I am a representative of what the scripture says, where I go, what I do, who I communicate with, how I communicate, who I communicate with. Am I representing the kingdom? I mean, it goes all the way down to even, we can talk about dress, but we're not going to talk about it. When I look in the mirror, do I see a godly person? At the end of the year when I get my 1099, does it reflect what I gave to God? Does it reflect who God is? When Brother Swan give us our 1099s, when I look at it, do I see God in what I gave God? Makes a lot of sense. When I compare it to the clothes in my closet, or to all the fun I had the previous year, but all the money I spent at McDonald's and Taco Bell and Red Lobster and Longhorn and whatever your favorite restaurant is, when I look at my 1099 and look at my bank statement, does it reflect my attitude towards God and who I am? Because I am his representative. Let's look at another characteristic of the word. The word of God is eternal. The word of God is eternal. 1 Peter says, this is 1 and 23 through 25. You have been born again, and this new life does not come from something that dies, but from something that cannot die. You were born again through God's living message that continues forever. The scripture says, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass dies and the flowers fall, but the word of God will last forever. And this is the word that I preach to you. So now we see here in the first chapter of Peter, here's another characteristic of the word. The word of God is eternal. Eternal means it cannot die. It will not die. It will last forever, just like Jesus. In the flesh, Jesus died, but in the spirit, Jesus did not die. So the word is an eternal being. The word is eternal. So since I've been born again of an incorruptible seed, that must mean I have its characteristics. See, whether you like it or not, in some cases, you don't have to take a DNA test in court. When you see that baby, you look at it and say, I know that's mine. Whether you like it or not. And mothers, y'all, and women, y'all get us sometimes. You know, you ain't right. Some y'all use the phrase, you know, you see a little baby running around, a little pot belly and diaper hanging around him. Look at him, look just like his daddy. I mean, because they have your character. Sometimes our children even act like us, and you didn't even teach them how to act like that. They have certain mannerisms or dispositions or whatever, and we look and say, boy, like just like your mom. You act just like you. Because they have your characteristics. They have, they're your seed. So the Bible tells me that now I have been born of an incorruptible seed. The first seed, my Adamic seed, is a seed that is temporal. It will die. My Adam nature that we all struggle with. That's why there's a war in the believer. It's because you have an incorruptible seed. You've been born again. But then you have this Adam nature that is fighting against your eternal seed. Your temporal seed wants to, the things of the flesh, your temporal seed wants to feed and nurture the flesh, but your eternal seed wants to do that which is spiritual and nurture that which is spiritual. So Peter said, we've been born again of something new, and it did not come from something that dies. So since I'm born of this incorruptible seed, and since the Bible says that the word of God, which I've been born again of, will endure forever, that means I'm going to endure forever. That means I shall live and I shall not die. Yeah, this may die. This will die one day. But there is an unseen, the incorruptible seed is the unseen. There is an unseen about you that will never die. There is a part of you that will live after we bury you, cry over your casket, put you in the ground, come back, laugh, and eat chicken and spaghetti. You'll be dead, but there is a part of you that will live forever and ever and ever. But let me digress a little bit. Guess what? Everybody in here is going to live forever, whether you save or not. The question is, where are you going to live? That's the question. But if you're born of this incorruptible seed that we're talking about, I'm going to live forever in a place where there be no more sickness, where I don't have to worry about chest colds or migraine headaches or fevers or things like that. I just gave y'all my symptoms. I don't have to worry about those type of things because I'll be born of an incorruptible seed. So when I think about that in 1 Peter being born of an incorruptible seed and that I'm going to endure forever and ever, it gives me comfort when I read 2 Corinthians 4:17. What does it say? It says, we have small troubles for a while, but they're helping us to gain an eternal glory that is much greater than my troubles. So what are you saying? When I'm going through, when I'm having problems, I can remember this too shall pass. When I'm going through troubles that seem to try to bring me to my demise, I have to remember that this too shall pass because I'm born of a seed that's going to live forever, and that seed is going to birth me or bring me to a place where there won't be any more troubles. It's going to take me to a place where there be no more sadness, no more sickness. Why? Because I've been born of an incorruptible seed. I'm going to have eternal life with Jesus Christ. So, honey, whatever it is you're going through, don't worry about it. It's going to pass. And you're going to endure it. You're going to go through it, and you're going to endure it, but it too shall pass. That's what my wife says all the time. This too shall pass. I know you have to cry sometimes, but just tell yourself, this too shall pass. I know you have to be lonely sometimes or be out on an island by yourself, but just tell yourself, this too shall pass. Somebody give the Lord a hand praise. So whenever you're going through, read 2 Corinthians 4:17. The Bible described it as a light affliction. Isn't that something? You know why he said it was a light affliction? Because when you compare it to the reward you're going to get, he said it's a light affliction when you compare it to the time you're going to spend with Jesus in heaven. Let's move to another. Third characteristic, the word is alive. The word of God is alive. If we would revert back to the very first scripture, our text, it tells us in the very first few words, it says that the word of God is alive and it's working. It's not just alive, but it's alive and it's working. It's alive and it's moving. It's alive and it's healing. It's alive and it's doing a work. The word of God is not just some dull book that you just sit on your shelf and it collects dust, as some people would think. But the word of God, it is completely and it is fully alive, just as Jesus is completely and fully alive. And the Bible tells us that it cuts It cuts us. And maybe that's why some of us really have a problem really getting into the Word of God and really receiving the Word of God, because it'll cut you. And then after the Word cuts you, it will open you up and it will reveal you. And it's not just a surface cut. The Word of God will cut you deep, even to the marrow. It'll cut past the flesh, past the fat layer, through the bone, all the way to the joints, all the way to the marrow. And it will reveal. See, some of the hardest things we have about ourselves is really acknowledging or accepting our flaws. We don't even like people to tell us, even when it's true, we'll deny it. But you know it's true. If for 20 years somebody been telling you you lazy everywhere you go, and you still talking about, y'all stop lying on me, something wrong. And you know it's true, but you have a hard time accepting it. And that is what the Word of God will do. The Word of God will present itself to you. And then when you begin to read the Word of God, those who are believers, even a sinner, the sinner, because the Word of God will not return to God void. It will accomplish what it is set out to do. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the Word of God, it will go in and it will cut you and it will reveal your flaws. And it will show you how when you thought you was all that, you really not. But the Word of God is alive. I went online and I looked up Library of Congress. And the Library of Congress will tell you this. It claims to be the largest library in the world. It has 130 million items in it. It has 29 million books and other printed materials. It has 2.7 million recordings, 12 million photographs, 4.8 million maps, 58 million manuscripts in the Library of Congress. But yet among all of these volumes, all of these items, these recordings, these photographs, maps, among all of those millions and millions of manuscripts, there is only one script, or there is only one writing that can claim to be alive and powerful. And that is the Word of God. So you see, that puts the Bible in a very unique category. See, because I can go and I can go to the library if I want to read a book about symptoms of a condition I have. The medical report will tell you, ja, and check this, that, and that. And if I have symptoms that are implying I have some, I can go and check on that in the library. If I'm having marital problems, I can go to the library and I can read the book in the library or to the bookstore. And the book can tell me, you know, well, you need to do this and do that. But the Word of God is the only book you will ever read that will really take action on your situation. The Word of God will not just tell you what you need to do, but the Word of God will do something about it, because it is alive and it is powerful. And not only that, I would have to find, see, there are no books that are written about that will cover all of my circumstances. And some of us got a lot of circumstances going on. But the Word of God is one book that I can find a solution to every situation I'm facing. The Word of God is one book that I can find the problem. If I need healing, all I have to do is go to the Word of God. If I want to know or talk to God about being comforted, all I have to do is go to the Word of God and read when Jesus said, I've left you a comforter, because the Word of God, it is alive and it is powerful. Do you believe that? I know it is. The Word of God will change your life if you let it. It will not impose itself on you, but if you allow it, the Word of God will change your life. It will sanctify you. It will clean you up, because it is powerful. Let's look at another characteristic. The Word of God, it is supernatural. The Word of God is supernatural. What do you mean? Do you know when you share the Word of God with someone, when you're witnessing to someone, sharing the scriptures with someone, do you know that you're not working alone? When you want to tell someone about Jesus or share the life of Jesus or change your life through the Word of God, do you know that there is something working with you? The Word of God. Because it has a supernatural characteristic. God spoke to Isaiah in chapter 55 and 11. He says, the same thing is true of the words I speak. He says, they will not return to me empty. They make the things happen that I want to happen. And they succeed in doing what I send them to do. King James would say that my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I set it out to do. It'll accomplish what I have set it out to do. So God's word will accomplish his desires and his purpose. And even when you're not aware of God working, God is working. Even when you're not aware of it. Honey, there are some situations that the word of God beats you to and made the crooked straight so you can get there. Because it's supernatural like that. There are some situations in your life, if God could just show us a DVD of some situations that he avoided, that you avoided because the word went before you. See, you didn't know this, but the reason why you would let you spill that coffee on your shirt and you had to change your shirt and it made you 15 minutes late, and when you drove down the highway, you said, wow, that's an accident. That accident happened 15 minutes ago. There are situations in your life where the word of God is working because it's supernatural. That's why all we have to do is just apply the word and let God do the work. When you witness to someone, God said, my word is not going to return to me void. So all you have to do is say, honey, Jesus saves. To the utmost, Jesus saves. You don't need a bunch of Bible history. Jesus loves you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. Jesus loves you. Matter of fact, he loved us when we were sinners. I'm no better than you. The only difference is I have Jesus. I've accepted Jesus, but I was a mess. It has supernatural power. And when you plant that seed, someone else can come along and water that seed. And then God will give the increase. That's how powerful and how supernatural the word of God. It is a working word. It is a moving word. It is a living word. When you close up your love stories that you read and all your little soap opera books, things you like, when it's there on the shelf, that's it. But the word of God is alive and it's living, and it has to live through us. So when I read the word of God, the reason I can connect with the word of God is because of the Holy Spirit that is within me. It is the Holy Spirit that has given me this interpretation. It is the Holy Spirit that is making this connection. And have you ever been in a place where you begin to talk to someone or minister to someone and scriptures begin to just come to you and probably like, wow, where did that come from? That's because you've invested time in the word of God. And the Spirit brought it back to life, brought it up out of you. And you spoke life into someone. And it does what it set out to do. What am I saying? Just tell people what God said and go about your business. Because see, we got some kids that I don't care how much you teach or preach to or give to the word of God to, they're going to do what they want to do. Stop bashing your head on the wall, banging your fist through the wall, beating your head on the ceiling. Word, I didn't talk this child and told him the word. I didn't brought him to children's class. I didn't brought him to youth choir, raised up in the church, and now they're living like pagans. Let the word of God fix them. Let the word of God get a hold to them and mold them and shape them, because it's like a sword. It'll cut them. Stop losing sleep over them. Just feel and know that I've done what you've told me to do, Lord. I've given them your word. God, you said your word is alive and it is powerful and that it lives. So God, I pray that which I have taught them, let the word come alive in them. Trust me, if they have the word in them when they're out doing what they shouldn't be doing, it's going to come to them. I'm telling you what I know. It's hard sitting in the club with a drink in your hand and a verse in your head. Can I get a witness? I'm telling you. It was hard, all them thou shalt nots and thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Hard. But at some point, the word kept cutting me and working me and molding me and shaping me, and I was doing what I shouldn't have been doing. But the word of God one day came alive in me, and I just said, yes, Lord, I'll do your will. Yes, Lord, whatever it is. That's because the word was planted in me and the seed did not die. It accomplished what it had set out to do. Maybe somebody told me about it. May have been 10 years ago or 15 years before that, but it was still there. And it made my social life a wreck. It wrecked my social life. I got saved right before I was 21. I could not wait to just walk in the store and get what I wanted. I always had to pay somebody. It cost me extra. Because I had to pay somebody. I couldn't wait to walk in the store and get what I wanted. But God said, you will never do that because I'm going to save you before you get that age. And I'm so glad he did because I was a mess. And y'all were too. Because it doesn't matter what you were doing or what you were not doing. If you didn't have Jesus, you was going to end up in the same hell I would have been in. What you in here for, a murder? What you in here for? I don't know. I just didn't say yes to the Lord. Ain't never murdered. Ain't never done nothing wrong. I just never said yes to the Lord. Well, how you end up here? Well, you should have gave him your heart. Because your moral life, your good standards ain't going to get you in heaven. There are some folks living better than Christians and not even saved. I said there are some people that are living morally better than some Christians and they're not even saved. All right, let's move to another point because the word of God is powerful because of its effect. It is effective. The word of God is like an anesthesia, and it'll deaden you. It deadens the flesh so God can operate on you. That's how effective the word of God is. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. I'm going to let y'all read this with me. I'm going to let y'all read this for me. Would y'all do that? Let's read it together. Begin. That's a good word, ain't it? It'll straighten you up. See, so that's why I'll have to call and tell you what Bo Diddley was doing and start a gossip column. I don't have to Facebook everybody and tell them what I saw Joe Mo doing. Because the word of God is going to get you. The word of God will straighten you up. And sometimes if you're not careful, it'll straighten you out. So I'd rather straighten up before God straightened me out. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It'll correct you. It's very clear that if we would open up ourselves to the word of God, that there will be some significant changes in our lives. But we have to open up ourselves to it. Since the word of God will not return void, that means if I open up myself to the word of God and allow it to do what it's supposed to do, what it has set out to do, then that means I should experience significant changes in my life. If I'm a mean, bitter person, and I don't want to be that way, and I've had a believer told me that before. She said, I see how nice and kind and compassionate people are. I want to be like that. I have a problem. People make me mad, or some days I just feel bad and I just want to put it on other people. And I said, that's because you have to allow the word to change. You can't fix that. See, because your bitterness may be deep rooted from something happened to you 25 years ago, that somebody did something crazy to you. So you can't fix it. So you have to allow the word to change and mold you and shape you. So that means if the word of God is going to change me and mold me and shape me, and I want this change, but you have to want it. That means I have to spend time in the word. That means I have to spend time getting to know the word of God, understanding the word of God, how it works, how it operates in my life. If I want to be changed, if I want to be reshaped, if I want to be molded, if I'm sick, I have to go to the doctor and I have to yield myself to the doctor. And the funny thing about it, some of us will give ourselves to a natural physician before we yield ourselves to our spiritual physician. And we don't even know the man. First time you ever met the doctor, first time you checked in, he told you to take off all your clothes and put on this robe, and you did it. You didn't even know him. You didn't even know. All he had, he could have snuck in through the back door for all you know. And had his tag on. You did. Yep, bend over. You bent over. Turn around. You turn around. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift the other hand. Lift the. You did everything the physician told you to do. But when God tells you to do something, he got to pump and prime you and press you and push you and push you. But you say you know God. And God said, I'm telling you this because I'm trying to make it right. I'm giving this to you because I'm trying to fix what's broken or what's messed up or what's perverted in you. And I'm trying to fix it through the word of God, but you won't open yourself up to it. You won't yield yourself to it. I'll be the first one to tell you, it's hard sometimes for me to sit down when I'm tired, had a long day, or not feeling good. It's a struggle sometimes to sit down and open up my Bible and read it. Because my flesh, that corruptible seed, don't want to do it. But I realize there's another part of me that needs to. Because if I don't, it will starve. And it will become the lesser. And then I and the flesh will become the greater. And then that's when I start having problems. So I have to fight me. I have to fight Adam all the time. So Jesus can live. I struggle with Adam all the time so Jesus can live in me. So I have to spend time in the Word of God if I want to see a change take place in my life. I'm talking about a change beyond accepting him as your Savior. See, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's just like getting married at the altar. Now the marriage begins. Just like the wedding, rather. Now the marriage. And y'all know the marriage, the wedding was a great day. Yeah. Flowers. You know, doves and good food and pretty music. That was the wedding. But then the marriage was a whole different thing. It was a beautiful thing. But it took work, and it takes work, constantly takes work. So once we're born again of the seed, we have to allow the word in this relationship that I have with my Savior. I have to continue to work that relationship. Because if I don't work the relationship, something's going to happen. Something is going to fall short, and the word of God is not going to fall short. God's not going to fall short. So I'm going to fall short if I don't work my relationship. I don't care how many years you've been married. You got to still work your relationship. Every day. I had to call my wife yesterday and apologize to her for something I did stupid. I said, I'm not a good husband. She said, oh, don't say that. I said, okay, baby. But we have to continue. 22 years later, I had to call her and say, you know what? I'm sorry, you're right. And you know what? That was hard. Because self was like, you ain't got to call and say nothing. be the man. Did Jesus say, yeah, be a man and call her and apologize? So today I can stand here and say, I'm a good husband. Let me cover these four points. The word of God is powerful because of its effect. It's effective. Let's look at four points I want to bring out. If you haven't been reading your Bible or studying it regularly on a regular basis, you're not going to see a lot of changes in your life for the better. You're really not going to see a lot of changes in your life for the better. So let's look at some of these things, how the word of God, it has its effect on us. One, on our minds, how it affects our minds. It is effective, and it has an effect on our minds. Romans 12:2 says this. Can y'all read for me again? Let's read it together. Read. Paul says, don't allow this world to shape your mind. Allow the word of God to affect it. Allow the word of God to mold and shape your mind. See, prior coming to Jesus Christ, the biggest problem was not our actions that displeased God. That was not the biggest problem. What you did that was not pleasing to God was not your biggest problem. You know what our biggest problem was? It was the corrupt heart we had that led to those actions. I read a book one time, I don't remember the title, it said, God is more concerned about your attitude towards sins than he is the sin itself. God is more concerned about your attitude towards sin rather than the sin itself. So if I allow the word of God to mold and shape my mind, then my actions will change. So God is concerned about my heart and my mind being transformed by the word of God, then I won't have a problem with my actions. My actions won't be displeasing to him. So you won't be able to change the way you act until you change the way you think. If you, in your mind, say, I want to be a doctor, but drop out of high school in 11th grade and say, but I'm not going back to school. I just don't see that happening. So if I say I want to be a doctor, then I have to think like a doctor thinks. How does a doctor think? Well, first I got to at least get a GED, at least. Then I have to go to college and spend 4 years somewhere. Then after that, I have to go into pre-med and med school and post-med and after-med, all the med schools. And then I have to be in the mindset that I might be about 45 when I finally get my degree, but I am a doctor. Praise the Lord. So if we want to be like Jesus, if we want our actions to change and do what Jesus would do, we have to allow the word to transform our minds. And when I transform my thinking, my thought process, when I begin to think like Jesus would think in situations, then I would react or I would respond to a situation like Jesus would respond. Because I allowed the word of God to mold me and transform my mind. Let's move to a couple of more points. And I'll be done. The word of God, it is powerful because of its effect on our actions. When God transforms our minds, we begin to do things, we'll begin to say things, as I just mentioned, differently. We'll stop being so selfish. We know we can be selfish when it comes to giving God our time. We can be selfish. We can get up 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, get dressed for work, spend 10, 12 hours on the job, getting paid. God blessed us with a job, get off work, spend all the time catering to ourselves. But then when God's time comes, Well, I got about 15 minutes left. That's all I got, Lord. I'm tired. I've been working all day. We spend so much time worrying about ourselves, this dirt. My needs, my wants. Me, myself, and I. Me first. I'm at the top. It's me first. I'm at the top of the pyramid. And God said, no, I'm at the top of the pyramid. You're not first. God said, I want to be first. And you'll know if you're first or if God is first in your life by the things you do, the way you act, your actions. You'll know. I don't have to tell you because the word's going to tell you. The word's going to reveal it to you. And the thing about the word of God has no respect of person. The word of God is just like blind justice. All it sees is truth and lie. That's all it sees. If it's truth and righteousness, it's the word of God. And the word of God will cut you, it will penetrate, and it will reveal to you. Won't sugarcoat it. It'll just give it to you. So I have to allow my mind to be transformed in order for my actions to follow what the word of God says. Let's move to another point. It is powerful because of its effect on our purpose. When the word of God gives us the ability to think like Jesus, it gives us the ability to act like Jesus. Then that means it only makes sense that once I begin to think like Jesus, once I begin to act like Jesus, now I will begin to live my life out in God, on God's purpose. If I think like Jesus, or like the word of God would have me thinking, I begin to act. My actions show what I'm thinking. And it all lines up with the word of God. Then now that means I must have a life that is pleasing to him. Perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But every day I'm trying to think like Jesus. Every day I'm trying to act like Jesus. I'm trying to walk like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. So if I get those two things in line, I won't have to worry about wondering what is my purpose in life. What is my calling in life? Get in the word of God. I said in Bible study a couple of weeks ago, if you want to know your purpose in life, get to know God. Don't worry about focusing on what talent you have. And God has given us gifts and talents for the kingdom. But there are some people working in the kingdom who don't even use talents they thought they would be using. But once you get into the word of God, if you really want to know your purpose in life and what God has called you to do, get to know God. And he will reveal his purpose to you. How do I get to know God? Through the word of God. Prayer and devotion in the word of God. That's how you get to know God. Bible study helps too. Getting to know God. And while we could talk about many specific purposes that different people might be given, all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we have the same purpose. You'll find out whatever God gives you to do, whether it's usher, deacon, pastor, musician, singer, if all of us are fulfilling our purpose, our walk, what God has called us to do, guess what? All of those roads are going to lead to one place, right at the cross. Giving glory to Jesus Christ. I don't care what God has called you to do. There is no little jobs in the kingdom of heaven. The parking lot attendant, that is not a little job in the kingdom of heaven. Tending to God's business. Ushering in the church, God's people showing them around. That is not a small job because all roads lead to the cross. So it's no sense of you being a big eye and I'm doing, I got this position and I got this title, and that's the problem. Everybody want to fight over titles, what title you have. And that's one thing I'm glad about. I love it around here because there are no issues with titles around here. Because all roads lead to the cross. So my purpose in life, no matter what gift or talent I have to lead somebody to Jesus. And how do I do that? Well, when they come on the parking lot, as soon as they walk through the door, someone greet them and say, "Praise the Lord, how are you? Glad you could be with us this morning. You could have gone anywhere else. Don't hold them up too long. But just let them keep walking." And then by the time they get to those doors, the usher said, "Well, praise the Lord, how are you doing?" You see the continuity, it's flowing. And when they get in the sanctuary, the usher said, "Well, what do you want to sit? You can sit in the front, wherever a seat is available. We don't have special seating here. You can just sit wherever you want to sit." And then when they sit down, we get up and say, "Welcome to Blessed Hope Bible Church. We're glad you could be with us this morning. Just however you feel free to lift your hands and worship with us." And then when the praise team get up and sing, and Lord have mercy, Yolanda mess around and sing something and touch their heart. And we begin to sing the praises of God. And people, if you notice when I'm singing, or when we're singing, you know what I always, do you notice I always say, smile at somebody? Sister Penny ought to be the poster girl for a smile. I said, "Lord have mercy, I have never seen anybody smile like that all the time." And I mean, she just, "Praise the Lord." That's the love of Jesus. I told her one time, I said, "Well, Sister Penny, we won't have you singing in the praise team no more. We're going to make some change." She said, "Okay." Just the love of Jesus. And we have to smile, and that it becomes infectious and begins to rub off on people. You never know who you're sitting next to. You never know the person you're sitting next to, what they went through. They may have contemplated suicide last night, and all they needed was that Jesus loves you. God loves you. Oh, come, we're glad to have you this morning. That's how the Word of God works. And that's how He uses us collectively, and we come together. And when we all come together, everything stops, leads right here, right at the cross. It's to bring glory to God's name. So when I understand and accept all these truths, now I'm on my way to living a life of satisfaction that pleases God. A life of joy, a life of peace. Because I've allowed the Word of God that is alive and living to transform my life. And that's all God wants us to do, is just be willing vessels. I don't know how much time each of you spend in the Word. I'm not here to judge that. That's not my call. I don't know if you spend daily, do you have daily devotion with God? I don't know that. If it's daily or weekly or whatever your time may be. But the power of the Word is going to be demonstrated in your life to the measure of time you spend in it. Did you get what I said? It's going to be demonstrated in your life to the measure that you devote to it. You spend a little time with God in the Word, you'll get a little results. You spend a lot of time in the Word of God, not just reading, but allowing it to mold you, you're going to get a lot of results. And you have to allow the Word to work and to move in you. So I want to encourage every believer in here today. I want to challenge you. I'll put it that way. I'm going to challenge you. Starting Monday, if you don't, on a regular basis, find a slot. This is where I started a while back. I found a slot. I said, okay, I'm going to put this slot and watch this. Find a small window and say, this is my window that I'm going to use to devote myself with time with God in the Word, in devotion. Because I don't know about you, but all of us in here need some change in our lives. And so we all do agree. There's some change that needs to take place at some level in your life. There are some issues in your life that needs to be resolved. There's some stuff in your life that you're just tired and ready to get past. God, it's been 20 years. Now I'm spending another 20 years trying to get past it. But it'll take the Word of God that long if you allow it. If you allow it to process you. So I'm going to challenge you to, on a daily basis, Find a small window to say, God, I'm going to spend time in your word. I'll read your word. I'm going to spend a few part of the time praying. And sometimes I just put on some nice little worship music, or I'll put on some little classical music just to bring my mind down. And watch and see if you commit to that little window, watch and see how your window begins to open up and expand. Whereas 10 minutes became 15, and 15, 20, 20 minutes longer. But most importantly, watch the effect that it has on your life. Watch how it begins to change you. Watch how, as you begin to read the word and receive the word of God, watch how it begins to mold you and shape you. And issues that you've been trying to fix for a long time, the word of God will fix it for you. Because I say fix it because sometimes it won't even change, but the word of God fixed you and you was able to handle it because it wouldn't change. And there are some circumstances that we have to deal with. It's not going to change. So we need God to change us to deal with it. And that's what the word of God will do. It'll change you. Stop praying on your spouse and pray for your spouse. Let me say, stop sicking prayers on and pray for them. Stop telling God, make them like this and like that. Well, God didn't make them like that. Now you trying to be God. Why don't you change? Stop sicking prayers. Just let the word of God change your children, your spouse, your boss on the job. And if they don't, then God, give me the strength to deal with it. Because some of them ain't going to change. I'm telling you right now, some of it ain't going to change. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown in the fire, the temperature of the fire only changed it got hotter. So since the fire was there, it wasn't going nowhere, God had to change them and preserve them in the fire. And you just pray that God will preserve you while you're in the fire, that it don't consume you, that it don't drive you crazy. And he can do that with the word of God. Give him a hand praise. Would you stand to your feet? Stand with me. Jesus can save you today through the word of God. I told about three people today. I said, would you please pray for me? Did I get through this? Because I haven't felt this way in a long time. And I asked people that I know spend time in the word, because then I knew they knew how to pray. So I said, please pray for me that I get through it. So thank you for y'all prayers. Y'all know who you are. Thank you. Jesus saves. I want to pray for someone today. We read the scripture that says in Isaiah, where God said that his word would not return to him void, and it will accomplish what it has set out to do. So I pray today that whatever was said, maybe someone already spoke a word to you, and now you've received another word that confirmed what was already spoken. I pray right now for your hearts, that you will receive Jesus as your Savior. Remember, I told you that all roads lead to the foot of the cross. We're here now. We're right at the foot of the cross now. The preaching is over. The singing is over. Now we're at the foot of the cross. Now my question to you, will you allow the word of God to change your heart, transform your heart? Because if you're not saved, you need a heart transplant. You need God to take your corruptible heart and give you a new heart. And he is the only one that can do it. The only one that can do it. And he's here, and he will do it. If there's anybody here, and you say, I want to get to know this Jesus that you were talking about. I want to get to know this word of God that became flesh and dwelled among us and still lives in heaven and will one day see him again. I have my ticket to heaven. I have mine. But guess what? There's still room. We got some more tickets. And they are free. Free ticket. Free ticket to eternal life. That is something. A free ticket to joy and peace everlasting. If that's you and you really want to know Jesus as your Savior, your heart needs to be changed. If you raise your hand, we'll come to you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. That God will receive you, and He will. Let's bow our heads. As our heads are bowed, if you still want to raise that hand, don't allow the enemy. Now, there is a war going on in your mind right now, because I've been right where you are. And the devil said, no, you don't. And the Holy Spirit said, I think you should. And the devil said, no, but what about? And the Holy Spirit said, now is the time. And I'm telling you right now, now is the time to receive the Spirit of God. If you will allow Him, He's not going to make you come down and give your life to Him, but He will reach His hand out to you. And if you take His hand, He will bring you in. If you are here, just raise your hand and we will come to you and pray that you will receive Him in your heart. Sing this softly. To the utmost, Jesus said, would you come? To the utmost, He says, He'll pick you up and turn you around. And it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Say it again, hallelujah. Come on, say it one more time, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for sending the word. God, I pray now that your word will saturate our hearts, Lord, that which we have received. And God, someone here needs you as their Savior that may not have come today, but I pray that they will before it's too late. So I pray that the word that was spoken here today will be a seed planted in their heart, and that you will give the increase, Lord. And we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the credit, because we're just vessels being used. So we take no glory, no credit, Lord, but we give it all to you. I pray for every heart in this place tonight, Lord, that we will open up our hearts to receive your word. And the thing that I love about your word, God, is that whatever we need, your word will meet us at that point. Somebody needs healing, Lord, send a word. Somebody needs deliverance, Lord, send a word. Somebody needs peace in their mind. There's a broken heart in this place. God, I pray that your word will meet them at their point of need in the name of Jesus. Because you said it would not return until you void. So let it accomplish, Lord, its work. We give you glory today. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.